Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. We're going to be talking about color resolutions this segment. And don't worry, this show isn't being overthrown. Although, rumor has it, next week it might be overthrown, at least I will, by Jane, the other host of the program. It is known as Silk or Joe Show. She would be the silk portion of it. And in the meantime, you can check out our website, Main Street Radio Network, because we want to give them a big thanks for allowing this program to exist, regardless of who's hosting. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find previous editions of this program up there. And I want to say previous episodes, but that makes it sound like it's a scripted program. I guess technically parts of it are. You know, if I go into a monologue that I've written out already, then that would have been scripted before, wouldn't it? But that's not the case today. I might do that later. I'm not sure. I've got some buzzing around, but this current segment that I'm going to get to as soon as I'm through with the introductions, that's just kind of off the cuff here after some articles from Breitbart that I saw. And anyway, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com also has the Al and Nathan Show, where you can find more political content, and sometimes you can find me hosting up there as well. I will guest host for Alan on occasion. I think it was last week that I did it 3 days in a row for him. And you can also go to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, at Main Street Radio, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network. And let's not forget the Silk or Joe Show social media page, at Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. But also the Alan Nathan Show, if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at Alan Nathan, and he has his own website, alannathan.com. So there's a whole bag of goodies for you to check out. And we say that, I think it's like tradition or something to give all this stuff at the beginning of the show, and I hear other radio shows do it too. And it just occurred to me the absurdity of this, because you're in the middle of listening to this show, unless you're streaming it online, you've got like 30 tabs open like I do. Actually, that's a lie. I probably have 300 tabs open as we speak. But unless you're doing that, you know, you're listening to this show. You're not, unless, like, maybe you're taking it down on a post-it note to check out these websites or whatever. But why are we giving it to you all at the beginning of the show when we should be giving it to you either going into a commercial break when you can check it out instead of listening to our sponsors? Okay, I see why we don't do that. But we could also give it to you at the end of the show when we don't really care what happens with the stuff that comes on after us. Oh, whatever. This is absurd. Somehow some tradition started and it just got to this point, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, speaking of things that just got to this point, we have, like I mentioned, this color revolution going on. Now, what that is, it's kind of, it's a, you know, actually I forgot what the origin of that term is, but it's basically a coup where you get mass protests that target an existing government and with the assistance of the media, usually from a foreign backed power. And like this foreign power manipulates all these things to achieve a revolution or overthrow the legitimate government of a country. Now, allegedly, we did something like that to Ukraine in 2014, which is what pissed Russia off enough to seize Crimea. But right now, we're trying to do it to Israel. And so for those of you out there who don't think that we did it to Ukraine, here we are doing it to Israel. And you think we wouldn't do it to a lesser ally, especially one like Ukraine, where a lot of our elected leaders and a lot of our businesses and probably some of our bioweapons programs have money involved and institutions involved. Gee whiz, Joe Biden's son ended up serving on a board of a prominent Ukrainian company. Why would they do that? Unless we had some severe interests over there and they needed some influence. Anyway, right now, though, what we're trying to do is overthrow Benjamin Netanyahu because I guess Joe Biden doesn't like the way he's pursuing this war against the Palestinians because, well, it's really losing Biden's support, and he is desperate in this election year for support. So it's no wonder that the Biden administration, in order to stay in power, would overthrow a legitimate government, overthrow democracy, in order to get better polls in the U.S. And also Netanyahu, you know, even if you think the election's going to be rigged this year, still Netanyahu is a loose cannon on deck and the Biden administration wants a puppet in Israel. They don't want him. They'd rather see Israel be destroyed by Palestine than have a puppet in there, or than have an independent thinker in there, I should say. Their puppet will get Israel destroyed. So where this came from, though, where this idea of this color revolution going on in Israel, aside from the fact that the Biden administration is pretty open and Democrats are pretty open about pressing for Netanyahu to go, Senator Chuck Schumer, the head Democrat in the Senate, Senate Majority Leader, leader of the Senate, and also, as he said, the highest ranking Jew in the U.S. government, came out and said that Netanyahu has to go. Israel needs to hold elections right now to get rid of him. Imagine that. He's ordering an allied country to hold elections immediately because he doesn't like their leader. Him alone doesn't like their leader. And yet he's the one who complains about Republicans overthrowing democracy. Last I checked, on January 6th, even if it was an effort to overthrow democracy, there were a lot of people there. There were a million people at the Capitol. There were 1,000 or so in the Capitol trying to overthrow democracy. It wasn't just one person like Chuck Schumer single-handedly trying to overthrow democracy in Israel, not even his own country, where he has no stake whatsoever. Unless he's got money tied up in their opposition party or something. So that's what Democrats think about democracy. It basically means they win, their people are in power, otherwise it's not democracy. And now you can similarly treat their claims of being a threat to democracy with that knowledge in mind. They just mean a threat to their party. They don't mean a threat to the institutions. In fact, they themselves are the biggest threat to the institutions. I gee whiz, there was the 2023 elections where some Antifa activists sent ricin to various election buildings, and they were there with letters that said, Democrats are in power, we don't need elections, stop doing what you're doing or we're going to do worse. So that's what Democrats think of elections in democracy. But the main source that Breitbart is using for this is columnist Carolyn Glick at the Jewish News Syndicate. I don't know why I botched the landing on that the Jewish News Syndicate, because, well, she's been on the show before, so I have read it several times. Or was she on the Al Nathan Show while I guest hosted? I've interviewed her before. I just listened to this show or the Al Nathan Show, go through our archive and find it. Good luck, but play all the episodes. They're all worth hearing. Even if the news has gone by, they're worth hearing because it's all background and history to what's going on right now. Anyway, so according to her reporting, they got some leaked emails over there from left-wing activists, and the Biden administration plans to use components on the ground in Gaza. This is a quote here. Components involved actions on the ground in Gaza, the use of the UN Security Council, extortion of government ministers, and mass protests. So the Biden administration is overthrowing democracy. And these only came out, too. These text messages were first reported on March 17th, only a few days after Senator Chuck Schumer made his statement that I mentioned earlier about how they need to hold new elections to oust Netanyahu. Then after that, very shortly after that, the Biden administration allowed a UN Security Council resolution to pass that accepted Hamas's terms, ceasefire first, then hostages released, and isolated Israel, quotes from Breitbart here. So, and also the opposition figure to Netanyahu, Benny Gantz, several days, he also visited the White House around the time all this took off. So it's impressive how this Biden administration has been trying to interfere in foreign affairs. They always interfere in foreign affairs. That's what our government does. Foreign countries own democracy. A staunch ally. They're supposed to be our ally, our friend. Why are we doing this to them? Why does the Biden administration hate Israel this much that they would try to overthrow their government? Because the Biden administration thinks they can govern Israel better? Look what they've done to the United States. Our border is open. We have Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, testifying before Congress about allowing terrorists into this country. If anything, if the Biden administration were to take over management of Israel, October 7th would be happening every day, those massacres. They just let them all in and tell the Israeli government they're the racists for not accepting the rapes and murders of their citizens, because that's what the Biden administration tells Americans. That's what the Democrat Party's platform seems to be. You're a racist and a bigot if you don't accept rape and death and theft. You know, we got the whole situation with the illegal immigrant squatters now, too. Actually, apparently, there was, I probably talked about it at some point, the issue in New York City where someone had squatters invading their property. It could have been another property, quite frankly. I didn't keep up with the names, and it's not like this happens only one-off instances. But apparently, ICE got called on some illegal immigrant squatters, so that's good. Although, what ICE is going to do, who knows? I mean, gee whiz, this is the same government that, you remember those videos you saw? I don't know if all of you saw them, in Texas, where you had a bunch of illegal immigrants storming across the border, cutting through the wire, trampling National Guardsmen, shoving them aside, beating them, and just to storm into the country. All of them were released by a Democrat judge. They're all back out in the country. They got what they wanted. And we've learned that you can attack members of the military and get away with it if you're an illegal immigrant. If you're a protester on January 6th, you get your head blown off for attacking law enforcement. If you're an illegal immigrant, you can attack the military itself, and it's not a declaration of war or anything. You're just let right out into the country to attack American citizens. And let's not forget Lake and Riley, where we learned that if you brutally murder an American citizen, the government will apologize to you for calling you an illegal immigrant and hope that your feelings weren't hurt. And that is the kind of governance that the Biden administration wants to bring to Israel when they have Palestine as a neighbor. I think they want to push all the Jews in the sea, the Biden administration, and Senator Chuck Schumer, who again claims to be the highest-ranking Jew in the country. More after this.
In national health news, Waltham, Massachusetts-based Invivid has received emergency use authorization from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for its investigational monoclonal antibody for pre-exposure prophylaxis or prevention of COVID-19 in adults and adolescents who have moderate to severe immune compromise and are unlikely to mount an adequate response to COVID-19 vaccination. Invivid's Chief Executive Officer David Herring commented,
"As we've seen lately, SARS-CoV-2 continues to spread and cause unacceptably high levels of illness, hospitalizations, and death. The threat from COVID is not over, especially for vulnerable populations such as the immunocompromised.
Studies have shown that moderately to severely immunocompromised people, such as organ transplant recipients and people with certain blood cancers, among others, may not have a strong immune response to vaccines. Monoclonal antibodies work differently than vaccines to provide protection against viral threats. This new investigational therapy has been authorized by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use only. It is not FDA approved for any use, and there is limited information about the safety and effectiveness of using this investigational therapy for prevention of COVID-19. It is not authorized for treatment and is not a substitute for vaccination in individuals for whom COVID-19 vaccination is recommended. For the Food and Drug Administration's letter of authorization and product fact sheets, visit this website, invivid.com. Once again, that's INVIVYD.com. The content in this report was provided by Invivid, Inc.
Remote work environments have given employees increased freedom and flexibility. With that comes a variety of security risks. With employees no longer tied to the office infrastructure, IT must securely manage remote employees' devices no matter where they are. A user's device can create an opportunity for hackers to breach an organization. That device must also easily connect users to IT resources so they can be productive. The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud offers the solution for successful device management. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
With JumpCloud, you can manage your entire fleet, regardless of operating system or location, and create a scalable device management foundation. IT personnel can manage all types of devices from a single cloud console, and employees get to work on their preferred devices. JumpCloud helps you achieve compliance, monitor events, manage device data, enforce policies, patch machines, and more.
To learn more, visit jumpcloud.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to, man to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you all today. I'm a little delayed here in my response because I'm just taken aback at a friend of mine, shout out to Mr. Barry, who sent me this article here, and it has no bearing on politics whatsoever, but it's just the headline from Reuters: pole dancers eyeing games participation but soul of sport at risk. Now, for those of you on the distribution side, you know, listening to that, I'm not talking about strippers. I believe they mean pole, as in Polish. It's it's like talking about this article here from Reuters. It's talking about the Olympics, and I guess it's Polish dancers or something. They need to work on that phrasing, though, man. Poor Reuters. Anyway, we are joined now by our current guest, Patricia Padno. She is research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Patricia is a regular contributor for the Cedar Rapids Gazette and the Conservator, and has also been featured in USA Today, the Washington Examiner, and Discourse Magazine. Patricia, happy having the show. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So we're talking with you now about the vulnerabilities of solar panels that, you know, recently came to light in Texas when there was a hailstorm. Now, having solar panels on my own roof, I'm aware of certain dangers because I just had a tree branch hit my roof a few months ago. Didn't hit the panels, though, but boy, that was a panic. But, like, there's some more stuff that was revealed about the panels than just cracking glass and needing replacements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you have a large field of potentially breakable glass, and there is one storm, and, like, it is not good. And hail is so common, you know, seasonally. Like, we have hail damage sales at car dealerships. Like, it's a really common thing. You see those, like, every few years. So it makes a lot of sense that when a large piece of ice, rain down on a field of glass, that bad things will happen. If you only have a couple panels on your house, then maybe it hits your house, maybe your neighbor's fine. Maybe you have a tree that blocks it. Maybe it comes down at a different angle. The panels are angled in a different way, so maybe they're saved from the storm. But when you have just a large field, it is a vulnerability, and that doesn't mean that solar panels don't work and they don't generate energy, but it's something that we need to adjust for and think about when planning our energy grids.
Mm. Yeah, and there's the leaking toxins too from the material shattering, and was a concern as well. And it's like, did anyone do some stress testing on these panels before they put them up, or was this just like, we'll put them up and see what happens?
So solar panels can be made out of in a couple different ways. So in order to, like, put them up, they do need to have a plan for if they break and if those toxins go into the ground. That is, it's like with like a nuclear plant or anything. Like, you need a mitigation strategy when you're dealing with dangerous and hazardous chemicals like that. But obviously, like, residents were very concerned when there was a giant storm that destroyed a significant amount of panels. Like, how quickly are they going to be cleaning up all of these toxins? Like, we haven't really seen like a huge massive event where there's a bunch of damage and a lot of broken panels. Like, how quickly are they inspecting them to make sure that they're not contaminating the groundwater and the soil? So, I mean, residents deserve a lot of answers to their very practical questions of, are there going to be any, like, long-term impacts on our land? How close are these to aquifers? So I think that's something that we need a lot more transparency on, especially if the government will continue to fund and incentivize these very expensive and lucrative solar panel projects, lucrative for the companies that put them up, not necessarily for the households that are purchasing the somewhat unreliable energy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this also brings into the question just the replacement in general. You have the standard electric power plant, you know, that's going to be pretty sturdy and rugged, but a giant solar farm, when you get a hailstorm hitting that, how long is the power going to be out? Like, do they have a stockpile of thousands of solar panels to quickly rush and replace them? Although I don't know how quickly it can take. It took them all day Well, it took them a couple of hours anyway just to put up 13 panels on my house. When you're talking hundreds of them, you know, how many days is the grid down versus how many days would the grid down be down if it was just another type of power source?
Exactly. And other power sources can go offline and come online very quickly. Like if you shut down a gas power plant, you can ramp it up and turn it back on very quickly. That's why we have backup plants in regions that depend more on what I would say is like less reliable energy, weather dependent energy sources like wind and solar. They have backup reliable power sources for when they're quote unquote sustainable or clean energy, which is somewhat of a fake term, goes online. But in Nebraska, there was actually a very similar situation last year, and it took them about 6 months to get fully back online, which I actually saw it when you have a huge, like we have, you know, thousands of acres of damaged panels. I actually thought 6 months was pretty phenomenal to get everything cleared away, taken care of, and back online. I don't think that's a bad timeline, especially for something the government's involved in. I'm always impressed when it takes less than a million years. But that's not workable if that is the energy source for a majority of your grid, which is what the Biden administration and a lot of states think that they can do because they're prioritizing these lofty political goals about what type of energy they want versus what type of energy is sustainable and reliable, which continues to be coal, natural gas, nuclear, and like fossil fuels.
Well, on the one hand, you would like to believe that their citizens, when they've got their first taste of a six-month outage, that they would rally against it. But then on the other hand, just to look at the mess in California with their electric grid where, you know, they tell people to buy electric cars for the save the planet, but then tell them they can't charge them because of the rolling blackouts going on. And mm-hmm. it seems that the people who are in favor of these politicians are willing to put up with a six-month outage.
Yeah, so I think people think that solar power is nice. And I think people like to think that we are making new advances in how we generate energy. And we are, like you said, you have solar panels on your house. I know my little brother like worked for like in college, like selling really small solar panels to people to put on their barns. Like it is a very fine way to generate electricity and to charge like small batteries. And if you have a camper, like have it on top of your camper, you're going to be able to cook on your stove. When you're powering a city, you need something more reliable. And I think people shouldn't have to they shouldn't have to worry about the reliability. Like depending on who is in office, that should not change the reliability standard for your electrical grid, just like it shouldn't change if your water is clean. Like those are things that should be set in law. And there are separate commissions to make sure that we are reliable. So I think that's what people need to watch for. You need to vote for politicians that prioritize reliability. And even if they are very interested in trying out these new energy sources and encouraging that type of innovation, that they are not sacrificing reliable energy production. And we cannot let the Biden administration or governors prioritize experimentation and risk over like the safety and the assurance that our lights will continue to stay on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pie in the sky political goals that the science, even though they say they're the party of science, they just can't catch up with. But Patricia Patnode, research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe show today. And listeners, we have more programming coming up after the break, so stick with us.
The Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is now accepting applications for 5 federal grant opportunities that enhance commercial motor vehicle safety. I'm Patrick D. Niemans with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA. Last year, more than $125 million in grant-funded initiatives were awarded to promote access to commercial driver's license programs, prevent human trafficking within the industry, conduct commercial motor vehicle safety-related activities, deploy innovative technology efforts, advance transportation safety research, and more. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's roadways. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these federal grant opportunities and how to apply at fmcsa.dot.gov ms.gov/grants. Applications are due by April 19th. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Calling all accredited institutions of higher education. Federal grant funding may be within your reach. I'm Evangela Hollowell with the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration and a proud Hampton University alum. FMCSA offers a CMV Operator Safety Training Grant to educational institutions with opportunities to expand the number of commercial driver's license holders possessing enhanced operator safety training. This grant assists historically Black colleges and universities and minority-serving institutions. It also helps future alum like me get involved with the commercial motor vehicle industry. Prospective institutions with accreditation recognized by the U.S. Department of Education are encouraged to visit fmcsa.dot.gov/grants to explore the funding opportunity and learn how to start the application process. Together, we can significantly reduce serious injuries and deaths on our nation's highways. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
The Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud recently surveyed international IT decision makers. Not surprisingly, one of the topics that was top of mind was AI. Most IT professionals see AI as a positive. However, many are concerned with its implications on security. Most respondents said that AI is outpacing their organization's ability to protect against threats. JumpCloud offers the solution to help manage potential security threats posed by AI. JumpCloud VP Eric Brown.
It's important to be aware of AI's possible security implications so you can take precautions to use these tools safely. JumpCloud offers security without the complexity. We give admins the tools to help users follow best practices, defend against common attack vectors, and eliminate the sprawl of accounts and passwords that can lead to risky access and data breaches.
To learn more about how JumpCloud can help protect your organization, visit jumpcloud.com.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So I have to issue a correction. At the beginning of the last segment, I was talking about an article my friend had sent me about pole dancers at the Olympics. I thought it was Polish people, and I even looked at the article, and my brain refused to comprehend the horrible truth that it was not Polish people, so I naturally started the segment by saying it was Polish people. No, it's actually actual pole dancers. Stripping, I guess, is an Olympic sport now. Woohoo! Maybe they're desperate for ratings or something after last year, or I don't know, it's Paris. They do a lot of weird stuff over there. who knows, but just had to issue that correction and point out that, you know, there are things that I refuse to comprehend. So parents, maybe keep your kids away from the Olympics this year. Anyway, some articles that I want to get to here. I did mention I had some pre-written stuff. So Fox News headline, Democrats want to tax your home, your retirement, your everything. Now, the government right now makes $4.4 trillion in revenue. If we had the same budgetary needs as we had in 2019, we break even for once. But that's the problem. We have Democrats in power. They're not going to stop spending. They're not going to stop finding new things to spend money on. They're like me the moment that I have any excess income. They just want to flush it all down the drain and then desperately search for any more that they can scrape from anywhere. And that's, you know, it's, I guess, not okay if it's just me doing it, but it's our government doing it. It's even a bigger problem because it affects more than just one person. So what's their latest scheme to get more money? A wealth tax. Now, they keep saying it only affects the rich, but the trouble is it affects anyone who has a home or a business, any other kind of assets, stocks, 401ks, whatever. So everyone pays the wealth tax, not just the wealthy. And they're going to try to use that to make up for all the extra spending that they've been doing. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve, or not the Federal Reserve, they're raising interest rates at the Federal Reserve, which is hurting us a bit, but also the Biden administration's spending and has been causing inflation to rise. So what little money the Democrats want you to keep is worth less than it was before. So maybe that's part of why I guess that our $4.4 trillion now doesn't meet the budgetary needs anymore because of inflation over the last couple of years, courtesy of the Biden administration. Now, they try to tell you that inflation is down or inflation is meaningless. But the thing is, if inflation is down, that means it was up and it was happening to begin with. You know, you got to ask, down from what? Is it still higher than what it was under Trump? Because Biden reached some pretty good excesses with inflation. So it can still be down, but still be way above what it was even in 2020 during COVID. That's something that you're not going to hear, though, on the rosy economic picture that they try to make as we go into a campaign year. So again, tying into the first segment, they're trying to take all the money they can out of you, not just the wealthy. They say it's just the wealthy because they think you're stupid enough to support them if they say it's just the wealthy and not going to be you. But it's you, ultimately, that they're coming for. And, you know, it's not just because the wealthy are able to hide their money better, so they are able to avoid these taxes. It's also because the Democrats see every dollar that you earn as money that you are allowed to keep. Not money you earn, but as money you're allowed to keep by the government. They see it as their money that they're gifting to you. That's how they think of taxes. And they think of taxes as just claiming their rightful property. And they think of your income as their rightful property that they're so generously allowing you to keep a few breadcrumbs from while they waste it all. What are they spending it on anyway? What are we getting out of all this spending that they're doing? They're not doing any border enforcement. We don't have universal health care, which they could totally fund with all this stuff. In fact, illegal immigrants are getting universal health care with all this money they're taking from you. They get Medicaid. They get Social Security. They get tens of thousands of dollars per year in free money. They get to have residences that were originally reserved for veterans and homeless people. They just kick them all out and hand them over to illegal immigrants, and you pay for all of this. In fact, the illegal immigrants who are coming in squatting in your house, you're paying the court fees too. Your taxes are paying for the court system and the law enforcement that they're abusing in order to steal your house from you. And you still have to pay your mortgage and property tax. So the government, they're getting a lot, and they're doing nothing with it, at least nothing that we want. And we're stuck here. What can we do about it? Democrats run the show, and if they rig the elections, they're going to keep running the show. You know, they like to say that Trump was threatening democracy by saying we'll never have elections again if he loses. He wasn't making a threat that his people would overthrow the government. He was making a statement of fact that the Democrats weren't going to allow elections again, or at least they would be, you know, lame puppets. You know, it'd be like Mitt Romney's side of the Republican Party as the candidates, the controlled opposition, to give you the illusion of choice when really there is none. Because the Mitt Romney wing of the party, they just exist to soak up your money and serve the Democrat agenda. Maybe slow it down so that they look like they're doing something for their voters to keep lulling in the sheep to the slaughter. They're the Judas goats, as I've said before. that's what the Romney wing of the party is. Judas goats for the Democrat Party to make sure no effective opposition ever appears and to make people think that there is someone in government opposing what's going on. But obviously that's a lie. Even under Trump, who was there stopping the FBI from going crazy, growing rogue? The Department of Justice under Obama, as far back as Obama, simply used the fact that Trump had a different foreign policy idea than they wanted as excuse to investigate him. They actually said it. There was an excuse to launch the investigation into him being tied to Russia because his foreign policy idea was different than what Democrats wanted. And these are the same Democrats who say that they are for open discussions and policy debates and stuff. But here, when you present a policy they dislike, they send the DOJ after you. And they censor you on social media, too, even if you're spitting straight facts about the COVID shots and all that. So that's what Democrats think of open discussion, and we know what they think of democracy with their rigged elections, which they rig against each other, mind you. Democrats have been accusing each other of rigging elections when they lose now. But then also they're trying to rig an overthrow of a country in Israel, one of our allies, because they don't like the person in charge there. You think they wouldn't rig an election in the U.S. if they're rigging stuff in our ally? Of course not. And allegedly, they overthrew Ukraine in a similar fashion, which, again, if you don't believe it, well, they're doing the same damn thing to Israel. Why wouldn't you believe it? And why wouldn't you believe that they would do that same thing domestically? They're willing to do it to handle their foreign policy power. Why wouldn't they do it for their political power here? What, you think that the government would be like, oh, we're going to overthrow democracy in Israel, but because it threatens our power over the Israeli people, but, you know, at the same time, we're not going to handle this existential threat to our party in the United States. No, we're just going to let them win elections and kick us out of power, possibly forever. Yeah, how naive would you have to be to think that people who cheat are going to suddenly play fair at the time when they need to cheat the most? But I guess we'll see how this plays out in November. I am a little concerned about Trump's chances. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a assassination plot that the FBI had been cooking up. By the way, the FBI is monitoring your social media posts. I should point that out. There's been videos of them going door to door to various people, telling them, hey, you saw a social media post you did. We don't like it. Even though there's nothing illegal in it, we're going to question you about it. Now, why is the FBI doing that? One particular verse in question is to say F Joe Biden. Of course, I can't say the F word on the air here, but F Joe Biden, which, you know, it's a sentiment I sort of agree with. F him. But at the same time, I don't like that wording because I don't want to think of Joe Biden and fornication in the same sentence. But alas, the F Joe Biden has caught on. Therefore, I proudly say F Joe Biden. You hear that, FBI? I said it on the radio, not on social media. But anyway, if you say that on social media, you might get an FBI agent come into your door. There's videos of them going around people's houses for expressing such opinions. And they also, for those of you on the left, went to the house of someone who was expressing a pro-Palestinian view on social media. Went to her house. It was her. They went to her house to harass her over her social media posts. So the FBI has nothing better to do? You have the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas going before Congress to answer for why he allowed terrorists into the country. And in the FBI, instead of tracking them down, they're questioning you about your anti-Joe Biden social media posts? Like, is this, are they, you know, they are confirmed FBI agents, but is this like a scheme in the FBI to get people to vote for Trump? Because that's the easiest way to do it. To say you dare question the person in power right now? We're going to show up to your house if you question the person in power right now. You think that person who you're intimidating is going to vote for Joe Biden? Oh, gee, he was so merciful that the agents didn't kill me? Is that the kind of vibe the FBI is trying to send out? Or are they just trying to scare you away from voting, scare you away from expressing your political opinion? After all, Democrats do love censorship, and the FBI, confronted with the exposure of their trying to manipulate social media companies behind the scenes, maybe they just decided, well, everyone knows we're doing it anyway, we'll just be more overt about it now that social media companies like Twitter aren't being as cooperative now that they're under new management. So we'll just send our goons around to different houses in the country to intimidate social media users since we can't really silence them anymore. Maybe that's the reasoning behind it. Any other way? F Joe Biden, F the FBI, apparently. FBI seems to stand for F-boy investigators now. But, F-boy idiots, that's better. So, there you go. That's the state of our law enforcement. That's where your tax dollars are going. And instead of, you know, culling the herd, so to speak, the Biden administration just wants to spend more of your tax money and tax you even more, tax everything you own. More Silker Joe Show after this break.
Calling all organizations responsible for implementing all or part of a state's commercial driver's license program and agencies that provide commercial motor vehicle operator safety training. Federal grant funding may be within your reach. I'm Nikki McDavid, Commercial Driver's License Division Chief with the U.S. Department of Transportation's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA. The CDL program implementation and the CMB Operator Safety Training Grant programs help pave the way for safer roadways and a safer transportation environment. Prospective applicants are encouraged to learn more about these funding opportunities at fmcsa.dot.gov/grants. Together, we can prevent crashes, serious injuries, and deaths on our nation's highways. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
A new minimally invasive treatment option for prostate cancer shows successful outcomes without the side effects that often come with surgery or radiation. Prostate cancer affects 1 in 8 men in their lifetimes. The success of MRI-guided transurethral ultrasound ablation, TULSA, represents a revolution in whole-gland treatment for prostate cancer. Patients now have an alternative treatment option that has a favorable side effect profile compared to surgery, radiation, and thermal therapy. In the TULSA procedure, a small catheter-like device is inserted through the urethra into the prostate, where the tissue is heated, killing the cancer cells while protecting the sensitive nerves around the prostate. Dr. Stephen S. Raymond, Professor of Radiology, Urology, and Surgery at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA.
This image-guided therapy maximizes our ability to kill cancer cells while minimizing collateral damage to the prostate to achieve the ultimate trifecta in prostate cancer treatment, full local cancer control while maintaining urinary continence and potency.
For more information, go to sirmeeting.org, sponsored by Society of Interventional Radiology.
The results are in. In a nationwide double-blind taste test, Applebee's Classic Buffalo Boneless Wings reign supreme as America's favorite boneless wings. To celebrate, Applebee's is offering boneless wings for 50 cents each for a limited time, available for dine-in, to-go, or delivery. Head to your neighborhood Applebee's or visit applebees.com or mobile app to celebrate with this unbelievable deal. Price, participation, and selection may vary. Now that's eating good in the neighborhood. Sponsored by Applebee's.
John Nichols was making major strides in his career when at age 32, a water skiing accident left him critically injured. Fortunately, he had disability insurance.
For me, disability insurance was the safety net. I did not have to worry about the bills. I did not have the financial concerns.
Thanks to disability insurance that John had through work and on his own, he continued to receive an income until he could return to work. Learn more at protectyourpaycheck.org, a message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. so there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you here, all again wrapping up this hour. And once again, waiting on a guest. We'll see how quickly it takes them, but maybe I won't actually misstate an article. And you know, I still can't get over it. Pole dancers at the Olympics. What next? Don't answer that. Drag queen, Olympic drag queen story hour. See how many kids you can traumatize. But, well, like, you know, if you do it tastefully, the kids are just going to see the drag queens as clowns. I've always had that statement, but, you know, you get in the sex offenders and the people who are just basically doing lingerie as their drag and twerking on toddlers, that's, you think that someone would draw a line there, but the left, you know, they have a thing for kids, I guess. It runs in their blood, runs in their leadership. You might recall how when The Sound of Freedom came out, for example, they just said that child trafficking just wasn't a thing. This film was making a mountain out of a non-existent molehill. So I guess they have a lot to hide, especially with the sniffer-in-chief, Joe Biden, but also how many of their folks have been tied up with the Epstein stuff, right? You know, the FBI sits on the Epstein list. No one's been arrested. Meanwhile, they've dropped 91 felony charges against Trump, shows for just for existing. You know, it shows how screwed up the system is. I bet if Trump had, you know, if Trump was on Epstein's list, you would know. That would have leaked out, just as it leaked out that he was on the flight logs. Or whatever. So, but he's not on the client list. Otherwise, the FBI would have been going after him for that too. So they're protecting their own right there. We don't see, you know. I've been talking about how there was that that giant fundraiser last week, or where it's like $25 million were raised by Joe Biden, the Democrats in New York City. And at the same time, Trump is in New York City as well. That's at that same moment while the fundraiser is happening. Trump's out there at a funeral for a slain NYPD officer, which Joe Biden's campaign criticized Trump for attending. So, like, how dare you attend this officer's funeral? By the way, we raised $25 million pretty much over his body while it's still warm. So that's the Democrats' position on slain police officers, but you should have known that from the Black Lives Matter protest 4 years ago. Anyway, though, at that event, you know, I like to point out how you can, the tickets, which they say it's a grassroots event, for $225 you can get in. That's not particularly grassroots. That's a chunk of change right there. That's a grocery bill for a week, for a month, for some families. But then for $100,000 you get to pose next to two sex offenders and Obama. So the offenders being Bill Clinton and Joe Biden. So I guess that's why the left is so in favor of exposing kids to all this sort of stuff. Start them early to get them used to the Democrats that are going to be running them. Anyway, without further ado, our guest just arrived while I was wrapping that statement up. We have Gregory Rystone. He is a geologist and the executive director of the CO2 Coalition in Arlington, Virginia. He is best-selling author of A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Gregory Rystone, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Oh, good to be on with you. Very good.
Glad to have you. So the Biden administration, they just had a federal court overturn some climate rules that they issued. What's going on with that?
Yeah, there's you'll have to forgive me. It must be late breaking news. I'm not sure which one you're referencing.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. Fox News article, federal court strikes down Biden's rules, climate rules for states. We're slamming the brakes on the Biden administration's politics, Kentucky Attorney General said. States to track and set reduction goals for greenhouse gas emissions from vehicles on highways. So I guess a gas tax.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, and it should be. The EPA and some of these other alphabet agencies are thumbing their nose, or maybe worse, at what the Supreme Court... what the Supreme Court ordered last year in West Virginia, the EPA, and they can seem content to continue to overregulate every aspect of our lives, because what they want to do is they want to control what we drive, how we heat our homes, how much water comes out of your shower. Of course, they've already regulated 1 gallon flushes for your toilet and no incandescent bulbs. But they seem intent on regulating every other aspect of our lives as well.
Yeah, I remember the moment the no incandescent bulbs thing finally took effect. Like, what was it, last year that it happened, early last year? Like, the moment it came out, suddenly there was an article, like on CBS News or something, one of the mainstream websites, saying LED lights were bad for the environment, setting up the next target. So I guess, well, we'd go back to candle power, except candles are bad for the environment, too. So I guess we just don't get lights at night, unless we're at CBS headquarters.
Exactly. Hey, well, you know, it's about controlling controlling every aspect of your life. Hopefully they're rolling, you know, Biden's administration said they were delaying the EPA regulations requiring 70% of all vehicles to be sold in the United States, but it had to be EVs or hybrids. They delayed it for 2 years, from 2030 to 2032. Well, thanks a lot. They're still planning to do the same thing. It'll just be delayed. That's 10 years from now. That's not that far of a reach from where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. And the technology just doesn't seem to be ready for common usage. Aside from how stupid expensive it is, you also have electric vehicle fires, which fire departments need special extinguishers to handle. That's how bad they are. And the temperatures they get to are so, so much higher than a regular car fire. And then on top of that, how easy it is to set them off. I mean, I was just in a fender bender the other day, and my fault, I admit, and I thought that, boy, if I had an electric car, my battery probably would have caught fire from this thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of wrong with EVs, but what's driving all of this? What's this drive to make you drive those EVs to use less water, heat less, use heat pumps instead of a gas-fired furnace? It's this aversion and demonization of carbon dioxide. Here at the CO2 Coalition, we call that the miracle molecule. They call it the demon molecule. And in fact, with my new book, we've moved beyond the fact that there is no climate crisis, and there isn't. There just is no climate crisis. That's easily proven. And but we've gone beyond that to state that actually the modest warming that we've seen combined with more carbon dioxide is causing, by almost every metric you look at, Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and humanity's benefiting, again, from warming and more CO2. And, you know, when you say that, the liberals and the alarmists, their heads explode.
Hmm. And I believe that ties into your book, A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. We have like 20 seconds left, or we can get a copy of that book.
Yeah, you could go. My website is convenientwarming.com, or just Google Convenient Warming to buy it on Amazon.
All right. Well, Gregory Wrightstone, Executive Director of the CO2 Coalition, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe Show this weekend. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Our website is mainstreetradionetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.